nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. This is Patrick Timpone. Hi there. It is June 9, 2021. We're streaming live here, OneRadioNetwork.com. Also, we have the audio and the video feed, whatever you like. And all of our, not all of them, but a lot of our videos now are up on BitChute, and we're downloading them down to One Radio Network as well. Nice to be here with you. We're going to talk to a fascinating fellow, I think. Read about him and saw a video. I don't even know how he came in contact with him at first off. His name is Jet Blake. We have Jet Black. I don't know. I messed that one up. Jet Blake. And Jet is an environmental scientist, and he works on developing environmental technologies, and he's been working with scientists at the Max Planck Institute in Germany Society. Yeah, we know about Max Planck, boy, that's a great spot. We maybe can talk about that. He's been a guest speaker. He talks around the world in different conferences. And he's interested in all kinds of things, from cryptos to AI to he thinks there's going to be another plandemic or whatever we want to call it coming up. And so we'll talk about the way of the world and see what he has to say for himself. We always like to talk to thinkers, critical thinkers, philosophers. Mr. Blake, and I'll try to call you Blake rather than Black. So sorry about that on the show page. Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, sir. Hey, could we get a little more volume? Is it possible? Do you have any controls on there? Got any more juice? Just a bit more juice?
Yes. Yes, I can do that.
Yeah, give me a little more juice there. And Jet, I'll tell folks a little bit about you. You live in Missouri, in the St. Louis area. And what's an environmental scientist mean? What does that mean anyway?
That's a good question. It's really a tough field of study degree to get, because environmental science is a multitude of studies. Environmental science includes meteorology, hydrology, geology, earth soils, chemistry, biology, and physics, all wrapped in one.
Wow. What a geek you are. That's great. Really?
A lot of study.
So do you think men's and women's are warming the globe?
Boy, you start right off the bat.
You might as well go for it, you know.
First, I'll state that I'm an outlier. I'm kind of a rebel in my field, because I don't go along with the global narrative. So actually, long-term studies with physicists that I am associated with, there's a better chance of a global cooling trend. Mm-hmm. But the global warming or climate change that we hear about, I think that's being orchestrated and organized by the elite or the system engineers that control central banks and government politics. And I think they have nefarious motives involved, and they kind of use pseudoscience. They're twisting facts and figures because they have an agenda.
Yes, sir.
I think they're scaring the bejeebies out of people about carbon footprint and this green initiative. And I think those are catchy code words for more technocracy, more control, and limiting human rights.
Interesting. Yeah, we've heard a bit about it. I think we've done a few shows, Jet, on the idea that the Earth could be cooling. What do you attribute that to? Is it the sunspot thing? Is there a solar minimum going on? Can you talk a bit about that? Why the Earth could be cooling rather than warming?
Yes, but I'll go into this, and I hope you don't get any hate mail or anything.
Don't worry about it. You know, We're way out of it. We're censored on YouTube. They don't allow us on Facebook. We're good. You know, you can.
Yeah, I've had over 400 videos removed from YouTube, so I understand that.
Wow, 400.
Over 400, my whole portfolio. So they don't like what I have to say, even though I use scientific figures. I'm very kind in my presentation, but it doesn't jive yes. with the narrative. So
yes, sir.
Yeah, you get blocked. Screen. To answer that question, I'm a proponent of field theory, not atomic theory. Field theory, if I throw out some older names, that might ring a bell. Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
Heaviside, Buckminster Fuller, Steinmetz, Faraday. These geniuses, Royal Raymond Rife, mm-hmm. fit in that category. Scientists of the late 1800s, early to mid 1900s, had a different philosophy of how our universe works. And field theory, I think, is absolutely more accurate than atomic theory. And based on field theory, it's electromagnetic frequencies derived from counter space, which is a scientific term that I use. Older references you might have heard in old past biblical references of heaven or things of that nature, but counter space is beyond our dimension, and electromagnetic frequencies are generated into our reality, into this dimension, in our etheric field. And based on those electromagnetic frequencies, it creates reality. So in field theory, hydrogen, for example, instead of it being an atom, the basic atom, the first of the periodical table of matter, what they would call matter, in field theory, hydrogen would actually be the first manifestation of hard light.
Of light?
Hard light. Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I had a spiritual teacher. I do have a spiritual teacher, the name of Rebazar Tars, and in a book called Dialogues with the Master. So interesting you mentioned that, because we breathe hydrogen gas and we have a little technology. And he said that hydrogen was the number one, the number one manifestation of in physical reality. And spirit,
that's correct.
Right? Spirit is light, and sound and light, right? Sound and light?
Yes, I agree 100%.
Wow, isn't that cool? Hydrogen. It's like God stuff.
Right.
So, wow, we'll talk about that, but can you talk to us like we're a young child or a golden retriever, and tell us the difference between atomic theory and then field theory, like the Tesla and all the folks that you mentioned? What's the difference?
Well, atomic theory is it's championed by most educational systems worldwide, universities. It's the standard protocol in textbooks mm-hmm. and philosophies. But with atomic theory, you have matter comprised of atoms.
Yes.
And then you have neutrons, protons, electrons, and they kind of orbit around each other. And there are studies in certain quantum mechanics about subcomponents of the atom, gluons, quarks, and so forth. And mm-hmm. and then on paper, CERN is supposed to find the boson, the small building block components. What's the smallest matter that builds upon our current reality? Field theory is that there isn't per se the components of a proton, electron, neutron, but it's manifestation of frequencies interacting with the etheric field, and then we have manifestations of hard light that create our material universe.
So what we see is God or spirit coming through us, manifesting into what looks like reality, but it's really just light. It's just...
When I use the term, I know I have a vision when I say this, but other people might misinterpret it, but we live in a holographic universe, and that's not an insult. That's actually how life works. It's manifestations of hard light based on frequency inputs coming from counter space. And I feel that there is an intelligence a source, a creator, whatever term you
want to use. Whatever we want to call it, right.
That it exists, because that dynamic energy exists in counter space, and it's constantly feeding electromagnetic energy into our dimension.
And we as spiritual beings, which we are, right? We are, this is what we use to grow our bodies or create things, right? We use, this is what we use.
Yes, and I think what happens is there's ancient texts and terminology. There's phrases like, let your light shine.
Mm-hmm.
You are light, or we're all one.
Mm-hmm.
From a aspect of field theory, that's very accurate. But I think the many thousands of years ago, with some of the discoveries or teachings that have been handed down through maybe private orders, private societies, or these family lines, they're not releasing truths. They have an alternative teaching, which allows them to stay on top and keep humanity in this basin or bowl of servitude.
So the idea of a religion or a sin and those kind of things, and that you're separate from God.
Yes, and then studying the components of what it means to be human, fear and greed are utilized a lot, what I would refer to as maybe the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Fear and greed are vibration frequencies that do not originate from counter space.
Now, when you talk go ahead.
So, in this reality, I think kind of like the movie Matrix, I think we live in the majority of mankind, we have a construct or an artificial matrix controlled by a few, and they're able to manipulate our individual consciousness that we have, and they try to harness humanity or shoehorn us into their matrix with our energy that we have. So we buy into their false world paradigm and truths about how humans really function, field theory, this electromagnetic energy, which has data attached to it, streaming from counter space. They don't want anyone to know about that. They don't want anyone to develop senses in the human body. Hear about the pineal gland,
yes,
or your different energy centers. They have foods, beverages, pharmaceuticals, all of which I think are designed to dampen or calcify that ability of humans.
Mm. Wow. So when you talk about counter space, can I assume you're speaking of, this is physical reality, and I know, and others know, that there are other realities, right? There's astral realities and causal planes, realities, and etheric planes, as you said. The mental plane, right? Other realities. That's what you're referring to, counter space.
Yeah, counter space would be outside of our known dimensions. Based on calculations, counter space would be outside all dimensions, but it would feed data according to each dimension, and it's different laws of physics that it would operate under.
So elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, what's strange is, again, I have no idea with your audience.
It's okay. You be you. That's all we care about. You be you. Don't worry.
That's one of the craziest guys you've ever interviewed. I don't know where he gets his information from, or he's wacko. And that's usually how I'm labeled.
That's all right. But, we like that.
For example, the sun, stars, our sun is more like a transformer, where electromagnetic frequencies come from counter space and are ported into our realm, or in our case, in our this sector of the galaxy, in our solar system. It streams out of our sun. And the electromagnetic frequencies from long wave to gamma ray in the electromagnetic spectrum, there's data attached to those frequencies. And the data is pertinent to various aspects within our solar system. And that data streams from the sun on a constant basis. Now, what comes from our sun might be different from other stars because the data is pertinent to that galaxy or that region. So we're learning in our sciences, we're starting very elementary in learning data that's attached, for example, to the visible light spectrum. There's data attached to the visible light spectrum, and that data is received by DNA receptors on humans, plants, and animals.
Whoa. So we are, can we say then that the data then is coming from, let's just say right now, we'll just call this spirit or God or I don't know, well, what's your best term for that? Chi or prana, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing, right? This divine intelligence that we know is there, right? So we can call it God. Okay, let's call it God. It works. So God, whatever it is putting data, information into this reality that then goes into the plants and the animals and humans, and it's up to us as spiritual beings to do what we will with it, to either see it, feel it, know it, explore it, or just go along and be silly and whatever, and just, you know, get into fear and greed, right, and just ignore it, right?
Right, so I think the marvelous design of humans, plants, and animals, we have the ability with receptors to respond to this incoming data that's attached to this electromagnetic frequency. Now, X-ray, hard and soft X-ray, gamma ray, that information is not pertinent per se to humans because they're very dangerous if we're exposed to that electromagnetic frequency. But when you're dealing with the beginnings of ultralight, you have UVA, B, and C, ultraviolet light, visible light spectrum, infrared, and radio, AM, FM, for example. We have receptors that can respond to that data. We are a conscious entity with a lot of receptors. So we're supposed to respond to this incoming data and react to it, mm-hmm. observe it, experience it, form an opinion of it. That's part of life. And enjoy this experience, primarily based on a non-threat to others, a love, a very kind response. But I think this world matrix, these system engineers that I think might be comprised of human and maybe non-human, I think they've developed a system that wants to block us from our true design and intent. And they do not want us to respond to the inbound signaling in a natural way. So when you have such things as atmospheric salting, you have your various barium, aluminum, strontium salts, mm-hmm. you have genetically modified organisms, you have artificial chemicals in food, that's all designed to inhibit or stop this experience and this natural data coming from counter space, to block it and confuse us as humans in this human experience.
Interesting.
I think it's all calculated.
Yeah, it's all kind of, and can it be argued that it's pretty much always been going on planet Earth, though, right? Governments and kings and whatever trying to control us. And they're just these same forces one might call the devil or, the dark forces, they're just getting pretty clever at it because of the technology, right? And they can even get better at it, right? And they can
get work.
Yeah. So we're living in an incredible time where King Henry, he used to cut off people's heads, when they got out of line, and they're doing the same thing now. They're just, what I'm saying.
Sure, because I think with the advent of the advancements of computers and nanotechnology, I think they have the ability either through pharmaceutical formulas,
mm-hmm.
Telecommunications with the 5G and 6G systems that are rolling out, and then new advents such as blockchain, cryptocurrency, crypto tokens, and the Internet of Things, IoT, Internet of Things. Technology is really advanced now to where those that have been controlling for thousands and thousands of years, I think now they really have the technology to be able to completely hijack human consciousness. Because if you can, I hope I'm not rambling, but if you can hijack human consciousness, humans are have a lot of energy. So we have just shy of under 1 volt per cell. We have trillions of cells. They're isolated so that we don't short out. You shake someone's hand and electrocute each other. But you're talking of trillions of volts.
Wow.
In a water-based organism. So we're basically 70-72% water with enzymes, proteins, and amino acids. So we are water-based and we are electrical. Well, if you can harness billions of human beings and get them to interface, leveraging their consciousness, now you have this small society that can control the human race like never before. And that's where we're headed, unfortunately.
Oh, there's a movie there. I'm a screenwriter, man. I love that one. As Jed Blake is with us. Man, I love talking to guys like this. They're thinkers. If you care to join the show, sorry, our phone lines are out because of the rain, but just do the email, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So if we look at the mind and the brain, which are separate, right, but they are connected. Right, they're separate but connected. So when I think, if I think a thought like, "Oh, I'm going to get cancer," it's been proven that that's in the mind, that's in the brain at that time. The work of Dr. Hammer and German New Medicine. Right, I mean, a trauma is in the brain, right, and then it's in the body because it's in the mind first. It's in the consciousness, and the person accepts it. So, do you think that these people, their goal is to literally rewire or re-hardwire the brain by going through the consciousness, mind, brain?
Yes, it's already happened.
It's already happened?
It's already happened. So if you look at the advent of technologies, advent of being able to transmit electricity, back in Tesla, Edison's day, and then you had the vacuum tubes, followed by the transistor. That was a breakthrough in the late 40s. And then the advent of the chip, the microchip, to where we are today. So you have a cell phone, for example, more computing power than any space program technologies of the 70s. What they've done is they're reconfiguring the actual neural network of human brains into a computer configuration of bytes, where you have 8 binary decimal points in segments. And the original design of the human neural network was not meant to have short data, 8 binary blocks, but throughout the decades, as computer technology increased, telecommunications, and then the World Wide Web, the human attention span and or the language, the number of words used, is shrinking. So humans' attention span is getting shorter and shorter. So now you have for example, the average people participating in social media, the average length of a sentence is less than 6 words. Like texting.
Yes, sir.
Or you have, when you have TikTok and other platforms, Instagram, where people are now thinking in 15 to less, 10 to 15 second increments.
Yes.
Their attention span. So when you have society, it's almost like they're taking the organic, the carbon-based human experience, and they're leading us to this singularity or this Borg into a Silicon Valley, a silicon 8 binary byte system. We're not designed to do that.
So it's actually a hardwire thing in the brain, right? It's actually, because the brain is the hardware, right? The brain is like the computer.
Right, the brain wire, the brain matter, the neural network system, so you have your axis, dendrite, synapses, is actually being reconfigured with the newer generation.
Wow.
Then you'll see the older, here's a, just top of my head, here's an example this might help. Let's say it's 1920, 1930.
Mm-hmm.
No television, obviously,
right.
At that point. But to entertain yourself, there wasn't any video games or media of that nature. You were outside playing, or you read a book. So if you read, based on the skill set of the author is painting a scene, whether it's Huckleberry Finn floating down the Mississippi River,
sure.
Things of that nature, or it's an explorer, Lewis and Clark, Magellan, something of that nature. Well, you're forcing your brain to imagine and create the what's the ship look like? How's the crew reacting? They finally find land, or,
yeah.
Or the indigenous friendly, or so you're creating that. That increases the neural network, the pathways, a very complicated system. You take that away, and today, and people can sit and be stimulated visually through a flicker rate of digital media. What happens is your neural network isn't near as sophisticated, and it's stunted. You have shorter connections, and what happens is the concepts, the deep concepts of philosophy, such as a God, why we're here, mm-hmm. How does life work,
mm-hmm.
Eventually your brain is configured into these 10-15 second sound bites. You won't have the neural network capacity to have strong, long theories that might take minutes, if not hours, to explain, will be unavailable. So in the future, the concept of a God will not even be available, because the brain network will not have the wire configuration to even come up with such sophisticated, deep concepts.
Very fascinating. So even though we are not the brain, we are not the mind, most souls believe they are, because spiritual, you know, growth is, it is what it is, right? So that's why even today you can't even have a conversation about no virus or virus or Trump or Biden or whatever socially.
Right.
You just can't even have a conversation, because these folks have been kind of really, we call it programming, Jet, but it really is programming, rewired to their brain. Does the brain, does it change that quickly in months?
Yes, because there's elasticity.
Oh, that's right, because it's always changing, right? It's always changing.
It can be changed quickly.
Quickly. So
they figured out.
Yeah, on the good side of that, though, that also means that somebody's at all rewired, right? And they're sitting at dinner, and for some reason, they get awake, right? And they go, oh my God, is all this? And they wake up spiritually, you know, like in, you know, somebody hits them on the head, or they see the light, so to speak. The whole thing could change back.
Yes, but what they're doing is, for example, if you try to reach people, everyone's so reliant on social media and the internet for communication. I mean, how many people have landlines left, telephone landlines? They're almost non-existent. So everything is mobile, cell phone based.
Sure.
Who runs these platforms, these networks, they won't allow individuals like us or scientists like us. We don't get the airtime. We can't. I get my videos removed. I get death threats.
Sure.
When I try to help people wake up spiritually and connect the dots and see that we're in an artificial matrix, which is contrary to our design, you're stymied.
Yes, sir.
So well, you have very powerful corporations and individuals that just crush individuals. You know, the David and Goliath type.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It almost feels like they get these guys early, too. I mean, we've heard, of course, about the CIA being involved with Microsoft and Facebook and, you know, Google and all that early on. It almost feels like, you know, God love him. I don't want to talk badly about Zuckerberg. He's got enough problems without me piling on. Poor guy. Looks like he's been programmed. You know, do you think they really programmed these people? You know, you know, the Bezos and the Gates of the world and the Zucks of the world, they actually program them? They must, right?
Yeah, if you look at they're kind of odd. If you look at them at interviews, some of the developers of cryptocurrencies, they almost don't seem human anymore. So there's definitely a reprogramming going on. They're very odd individuals, and what they've done to them or how they've screened or groomed people for these positions to be the spokesman and head of these corporations, they definitely have it down to a science, who they pick and how they groom them.
Yeah. Well, I know you don't have a platform very many places, but I've only talked to you for a half an hour. And brother, you're welcome here anytime you want to be.
Well, that'd be great, because I must be over the target to get such, like on YouTube, I have such a small channel, but I seem to get a lot of interference, and
cool.
I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
And in my field of science, I've had patents. I've had difficulty with patents and have been blocked on our research, and it's not good. It's very powerful. Who controls this world?
Very going, yeah.
And when you're going against them, it's tough.
Yeah. Well, let's take a little break. Okay, we have a couple commercials, and then we're going to come back, and we have a lot to talk about. We have cryptos. We have all kinds of things to talk about. If you'd like to be on the show and join the conversation, I wish our phone lines are open, or would be open, but next time we have them on, Jeff Blake, they will be. But you can email patrick1radionetwork.com. This is a great product to try. Stephen Buhner, master herbalist, wrote an entire book on pine pollen. Previously, we asked him, what's the difference between gathering some pine pollen, eating that, and then maybe taking Sir Thrival pine pollen and the grape alcohol, the tincture? What's the difference in the body?
Okay, the difference is pine pollen is probably one of the best nutrient food substances on the earth. And you see, it's made to be uptaken by all of the life around it. All of the other plants take it in and use it for growth. Many of the animals eat it, and it's a very nutrient substance. If you eat it, what happens is it goes through your GI tract and then puts it into the bloodstream. And there's a lot of great stuff in it. I mean, it's really high in amino acids and protein and vitamins, so it's a very magnificent substance. It's kind of a nutrient longevity tonic food, and it will over time raise levels, but if you really want to raise them fast, you don't want to let it go through your GI tract, hence the use of a tincture.
And you can click and order this great product right on our website. Any of these are Thrival links. Take you right to the pine pollen and order away. OneRadioNetwork.com. Indeed you can, and remember that Daniel Vitalis, you know, I think it's important for you to understand and know that I've known Daniel for, gosh, over 12 years. So he's the real deal. Very, very high quality products. Colostrum, Shaga, Reishi, the digestive bitters, the vitamin D3, K2. And he's got some CBD oils. Very, very nice product. Good company. So you're going to get what you pay for there, which is, you know, these days it's very important. Spend your Federal Reserve notes, such as they are, wisely, and consider Sir Thrival. It's a great company. If you haven't tried our sulfur, well, check it out. Dr. Patrick Flanagan has been regarded as one of the most important scientists in the last 50 years. We talked to him about sulfur.
There's a product called organic sulfur, and organic sulfur was put into trade in 1865 is organic sulfur. Some people call it MSM or methyl sulfonyl methane, but most of the MSM in health food stores have been contaminated with a kind of silica that prevents its absorption by the body. But anyway, what happens is that if you take a tablespoon of MSM and of the organic sulfur in hot water in the morning and a tablespoon in the afternoon, its sulfate's 192 two different compounds, heavy metals from the periodic table. And once it sulfates them, I'm talking about radioactive elements and other things, once it sulfates them, these sulfates cannot stay in the human body for more than 12 hours.
And what Dr. Flanagan just mentioned is one of the key reasons why our sulfur is different from most out there, Amazon, no matter where you go, because it's pure. Click and order, front page, oneradionetwork.com. Would you like a discount? Just email me, £4 or more, a discount, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com. Otherwise, £2 orders, United States, Canada, worldwide, three prices. Click and order, oneradionetwork.com. We appreciate your support of these products. That's how we support ourselves, and we've never had to charge for everything that we do. We have about, 3,500 podcasts, over 14 years audio, and now all the video. And so anytime you need something that you think you might be able to help you feel better, and we have some great things, including the hydrogen machine. We'll talk more about hydrogen with Jet Blake. It's a great product. Just go on our website and click away, and you'll find. If you have any issues with anything, I'm always available, Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. We're talking with Jet Blake. He's an environmental scientist and an inventor, and as you can hear, interesting guy.
We are listener supported, One Radio Network.
As we move along here, Jet, will, if you don't mind, we'll take a few emails for you, and that'll be fun. So let's see here. Let's do a first one, and who knows what it'll take us. Here's one. Would Elon Musk be doing anything different, in your opinion, with Starlink or more, or Mars, if he had access to Jet Blake's worldview?
That's a good question.
We got,
of course,
interesting listeners. Yeah.
I feel that Elon Musk is in a, probably in a difficult spot because he's involved in the corporate world, and he's involved in government grants programs, carbon credits. You have, when you're multiple corporations, you're in bed with central banks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my knowledge and the scientific research that we're involved in doesn't fit that group of global movers and shakers. So I think Elon Musk is only allowed certain avenues to pursue because of who he's in bed with politically and financially.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have his funding would stop. There'd be gag orders. He could end up being arrested if he pursued sciences that we're involved in, because it's based in truth. And I think he's compromised, and he's caught between a rock and a hard place. That's why he made a reversal. First, he said, I was going to accept Bitcoin for my products and everything. And then 2 weeks later, he makes 180 and no, and Bitcoin's no good. It's not green. It's not energy efficient. So he's all over the map. That's because he's probably getting phone calls saying, better say this, better do this, you better tweet this. I want you to go on this podcast and this entertainment show as a host, and I want you to. So
yes, sir.
I think he's more like a puppet, like Pinocchio, having to do as he's told.
That Starlink is kind of interesting. I think these are low-level satellites, supposed to have pretty good bandwidth and very inexpensive. And do you think that technology is good?
As we know, everyone knows this, right? That when you have advent of technology, there's always good uses for it to help humanity. And then you could also leverage that technology to maybe have more dominance or control over humanity. That's a shame. So as a scientist, who I know and what we do as far as our research, I'm afraid that the satellite project that he's involved in is part of this agenda of the Internet of Things that's involved in cryptocurrencies and basically AI and robotics are taking over the world. It's not going to be good. From what I, again, as a scientist, I have access to information the public doesn't.
Yes.
and in research, the experiments that we do, and we're a group that fights this system. We cause no harm, and we're scientists that are very spiritual. We do not operate on fear and greed. And if anything, it might sound hokey, but we're more towards love and care for humans, plants, and animals. We're a very rare breed. We haven't been compromised and bought out by a seven-figure income. But I look at that, and we're AI and robotics, the Internet of Things, and blockchain technology. I don't think it's looking good for the individual human.
Okay. On the Starlink, so would it be then, Jed, or the technology is stuff that, itself that you have an issue with, or what could be done with the technology once you hook up to it? That's what you're concerned about?
Yes.
Okay. But aren't we all connected anyway, and there's no secrets? What does it matter if it's Starlink or whatever?
Right. I mean, I guess at that point it doesn't, but you're going to have I guess what I'm trying to say is, where we're headed with the advancement of cryptocurrencies and smart meters, smart appliances, mm-hmm. Scores, and a satellite network system, this is all not being financed and developed with very smart people. The agenda is not to give mankind more liberties and freedom.
No, it's not going to happen. No. So let's talk about cryptos and Bitcoin in particular. You know, it's always in branding, they always say you just want to be first, right? Like Hertz, you know, Hertz was first, and they've always been bigger than Avis, right? Or whatever. Gillette was always, you know, was first. So do you know anything for sure? It's all mostly conjecture. I've studied the monetary system, Jed, for about 25 years. Really good understanding of central banking and fiat currencies and the boys, we call them. It's hard to imagine that they're not involved in this. What's your opinion? Do you have any data or really knowledge about who's running this whole Bitcoin thing?
Well, again, I don't know if anyone's going to throw rocks at me.
That's all right. That's all right.
Originally, when Bitcoin... the end of 2008, the white paper came out.
Yes, sir.
And they've been working on digital cryptocurrencies probably since the 50s. But they always had a problem of solving the double spending issue. And then they finally solved that double spending problem, thus the generation of the white paper by Satoshi Nakamoto, which is anonymous. It's not a real individual.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the birth of Bitcoin. End of 2008,
yes.
January 2009, and then you have the Genesis block. I'm going to get real woo-woo on you, but I think what happens is central bankers and these, whatever term you want to use, these ancient older families,
mm-hmm.
or the powers to be, they're not stupid. They don't get caught with their pants down.
Right.
So it's it's at first people go, decentralization, the blockchain, this could liberate humanity. We can do peer-to-peer. We can get rid of the middleman.
Right.
We have a true form of money that's can't be manipulated.
Decentralized, right? Decentralized.
Yeah, decentralized with a public ledger and finite. 33 yes. million Bitcoin subdivided into 100 millionth, called a Satoshi. But I think that's very naive. A lot of people thought that the powers to be in the central banks were like, shoot, where'd this come from? Now, they're completely aware of it. But it has the illusion of a grassroots invention,
yes. mm-hmm.
and something that could bring relief to humanity and maybe help equalize wealth on this planet instead of the 0.1% having, I don't know, 96% of the wealth and only 4% distributed for the 7 billion. No, I'm afraid that's not the case. I think what's happening is as you know, the fiat system, the 400-year banking plus mercantile fiat system's long in the tooth, and it's archaic. It's like a Model T with drum brakes. It's just not cutting it anymore. They're moving society where humans have less relevance in the economy, and AI, artificial intelligence, and robotics are going to be controlling the global economic system. They needed a currency and a language. This is very complicated in a way, and I might butcher this. They need a currency and a language where AIs, these supercomputers, these six or seven supercomputers, which are jockeying for position, these AIs are competing with each other right now as we speak, and robotics, AI and robotics, they need a currency and a language that they can communicate amongst themselves and create value and prominence. Humans are no longer in the equation. So they must get rid of the banking system and fiat currencies, and they must get on the blockchain, because humans are going to be tertiary in any importance. It's AI and robotics that are going to rule everything, and AI and robotics need money, currency, and a language to discuss amongst themselves, because they're going to be the dominant global leaders.
Oh, good.
We're heading into like a Terminator.
Yeah.
Skynet, Terminator.
So, but I don't understand why these AI dude computers, they're actually competing with themselves. Why do they need currency? I mean, I'm kind of lost you there.
Well, currency, if
is just energy.
Yeah, because if we're the construct of this matrix, as you know, is maritime law,
right?
And currency is current, and C, S-E-A. Because basically, maritime law, this was originally a water planet,
yes.
And first conscious life was marine based. So if you have current, you have electricity through C, S-E-A, you have currency. Currency is a way to harness, control energy. Life is energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if AI and robotics want to become lifelike, they need to be able to control energy, currency. So blockchain is a currency of the new world, as AI and robotics are ascending towards their crude version of consciousness. That's what Silicon Valley is trying to do. They're trying to bring consciousness to AI and robotics. So what?
But they can't duplicate consciousness. We are soul, spiritual beings with, you know, just made of God stuff. They can never compete with us. We can out martial arts them, can't we?
Right, but what they're going to try to do, you know, these CAFOs?
The what phones?
CAFO, C-A-F-O.
Oh.
Those, you're confined agricultural
sure.
feeding.
Stuffing
so
the
you
cows.
Have, like, chickens and.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, commercialized where, you know, the poor chicken and turkey are cramped in cages.
Yes, sir.
They never see daylight.
Yes, sir.
And then they plump them up for harvesting.
Right.
Instead of free range.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're no different. Humans, we're designed to be free range. They're getting through this UN Agenda 2030 and this Internet of Things. They're starting to pigeonhole humanity into cages. They eventually want, you have writings from the New Jersey Institute of Technology, Cohen had writings that the average home size should be 150 square feet for
yes.
an individual, 450
right.
square feet for a
mm-hmm.
family of four.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get it as CAFO cage, and what they're going to do is they're steering mankind when very soon, when close to 80% of all jobs are taken over by AI and robotics, what are humans going to do? They're molding humans into these small, green, efficient, zero carbon emission housing, and you're going to be spending your life with a headset on in these virtual reality worlds created by corporations. And then the AI and robotics are managing most of humanity's economic system, and humans will be feeding in a virtual reality. Their consciousness is going to be harnessed by AI and robotics to fuel an artificial conscious world by them. So we're going to become the chickens and turkeys
yeah.
in the cage.
I mean, these people are lunatics, but they're not stupid, right?
Yeah, they're fully convinced, and look how far they've gotten.
They've gotten.
So now when you start, when you start to hear Elon Musk and everything talking about implants, interface, or they're going to be coming out with holographic tattoos, wearable devices. The carbon human is starting to merge into Silicon Valley. Well, there's actually an interface, and humans will become less organic and more silicone based. This is all by design. You have Microsoft, who filed for a patent. They have many patents, but these corporations are heavily involved in blockchain and cryptocurrency, crypto tokens. Microsoft has a patent where their sensors can detect activity associated with specific human tasks, and then the computer is able to convert that into readable data to solve computational problems. They're actually going to use human energy, human consciousness, human activity as the proof of work for this blockchain technology. People have no idea how advanced they are with nanotechnology.
I can imagine. Jet Blake is with us, Patrick Timpone, OneRadio.com. Wow. Let's see. Here you go. Here's one for you. Mice live considerably longer when constantly exposed to 50 times higher background radiation. Is this an atomic or a field phenomenon?
Can you repeat the first part of that?
Mice live considerably longer when constantly exposed to 50 times higher background radiation. Is this an atomic or a field phenomenon?
Field.
Field. So let's go back to the basics of Bitcoin. So are you saying then it is controlled by these same people? Essentially. Okay. So they could then change the limited amount anytime they wanted, couldn't they? From 30 million?
No, not really.
Not
because,
really?
The way Bitcoin's designed, with 33 million Bitcoins being mined, a large portion have already been lost. They're in never land. But that's a finite fixed amount. That's what's appealing about Bitcoin and the blockchain. By the way, Bitcoin is obviously the longest, oldest interrupted blockchain. So every 30 days that goes by, Bitcoin becomes more valuable, more prominent because of its longevity. You can't go back to the Genesis block and change the 33 million Bitcoin or the fact that it can be subdivided. That's part of the value and the uniqueness of it that gives it credibility. But it gets really woo-woo because Bitcoin and the Genesis blockchain, there's a reason why Genesis, because we're talking about the birth of a new life form. Bitcoin and the blockchain is actually the spinal cord and central nervous system of a new life form that's going to be related to Silicon Valley. It's silicon-based, not carbon-based.
I don't think I'm going to participate in that one. But there's money to be made in Bitcoin if you're a gambler, right? Because it's going to go up and down.
Well, sure, because look, if you're part of the elite, the central bankers, and you're completely turning the global system onto a new financial system.
Yes, sir.
To get adoption and acceptance, you have to have enthusiasm.
Yes.
You have to have excitement.
Oh, so that's why it goes up and down.
It goes up and down. It's a roller coaster, and you hear of crypto millionaires and billionaires. That's a reality. If you don't have that hubbub and excitement, people are yawning, and no one pays attention. They have to get the human consciousness to engage in blockchain, cryptocurrency. What's this Bitcoin all about? All the hundreds and thousands upon thousands of YouTubers and other platforms that talk nothing about day trading cryptocurrencies. It's a whole infrastructure. DeFi, it's the fastest growing technology in the world. There's more corporations every day that are involved in blockchain, crypto tokens, cryptocurrencies, mining technology, applications, atomic swaps, wallets, how to hold your private and public keys. This is the biggest, largest industry So they're smart at the top because they're getting all this emotional energy, this excitement, this roller coaster ride.
Right.
As we're seeing a birth of a new financial system, but we're actually seeing a birth of a new species. It's a silicon-based species.
Silicon-based species. So are we going to get along?
It sounds weird.
Are we going to? No, I listen. I see. Are we going to get along with these silicon dudes and marry them, or would he have a half silicon, half carbon baby, or what's the deal? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm afraid it's. Oh gosh.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's all right. Don't worry about that one.
But yeah, when you're dealing with virtual reality, and these corporations are going to have these virtual reality worlds, these worlds are going to be very lifelike. So people are, there's going to be a great attraction to, there'll be literally 10, 15, 20 year contracts with Fortune 100 companies, and you'll be in this virtual reality world. And in that world, you'll have wife, husband, children, you'll have careers.
In virtual reality.
Your brain and your subconscious will not be able to tell the difference between the sophistication of a virtual reality world and the world that God or source created, this organic world.
So what
we have Hollywood movies.
Yeah, sure. What are all of us awake people going to be doing? I mean, we're going to have our own reality, right? You and I and our listeners, we're going to be in our own reality. They can't even mess with us then.
Yeah, but I think what happens is when you have, for example, they're starting to roll out global taxation.
Right.
And when you have countries adopting UN protocol, I think what's going to happen in time, because of the Green Initiative and for the sanctity of Earth and keeping the planet green and animals, eventually it'll become illegal to have your own homestead and your farm with your chickens. Yeah. That won't be allowed.
They're already starting Oregon, right? You can't. They want it so you can't do cows anymore in Oregon. And sure, they can just make up any rules as they go along. Well, it's a brave new world. You know what? I thought I would play this, Jet. I don't know if we want to play the whole thing, but somebody sent me this video this morning. And here, let me see if I have it here. Oh, man, did I lose it? Hold on. I got it. Oh, it was about masking, and it just, wow. Oh, as we're talking, I'll download it back again. I think I lost it. Jet Blake is with us. So you don't have a website, right, folks? Can't contact you, or where do they see more of your stuff?
Well, if the videos get taken down frequently, I have a very small YouTube channel.
I see.
Blake. And then I post there, but I've had over 400 removed. There's usually only two at a time, and then they're gone.
Yeah, they just go.
And then there's Jet Blake 2011 at gmail.com, where they can email me.
Oh, they can. Jet Blake
2011.
I'm sorry. Jet Blake, what was it?
2011.
Oh. 20.
At gmail.com.
I'll download this video as we get it here, because I want it to play a little bit for the. We've been hearing a lot of rumors about the idea that there's going to be a Fed coin. Have you looked into this? Is this going to be parallel with Bitcoin, do you think, if they're going to do this digital dollar thing?
Right, because what happens is when they talk about Bitcoin being gold 2.0,
mm-hmm.
a digital gold, if you have any national Fed coin, the United States, the Federal Reserve comes
yes,
up
sir.
With their cryptocurrency, or Great Britain, the euro, yuan, Russia, China, Japan.
But they probably will, right, Jet?
Yeah, they will. But think about this. When you have a brand new invention,
mm-hmm.
a new technology, such as blockchain and cryptocurrency, which is very efficient, by the way, speed of light, it's very efficient. In order for there to be any credibility or credence, if the United States comes up with their own Fed coin, it's in their best interest. They must have Bitcoin in existence since 2009, because it is the genesis block. It's the standard, the barometer,
right,
that any other cryptocurrency is going to be measured to.
Okay.
So when there's talk about when there's talk about, oh, governments are going to outlaw, ban Bitcoin and China for the 13th time, they keep banning mining a bit, and then they change. That's smoke and mirrors. That's hokum. What happens is it scares the bejeebies out of Joe Sixpack, so he sells his cryptocurrencies, his Bitcoin altcoins, but who's buying them? Corporations, hedge funds, these central banks. So don't be misled or fooled. Bitcoin must always be in existence because it's going to be the standard, and it's the mathematical solving of double spending. It must always be in existence for the United States to ever come up with a Fed coin or China to come up with their version. I don't know if I'm making this.
No, that's interesting. So that's good news to the real cryptomaniacs are listening, a lot of them, that Bitcoin will always probably kind of be around, right?
It's always going to be around. People that really understand Bitcoin and blockchain, they've never panicked. They've never sold their Bitcoin. These are guys that bought Bitcoin when it was $1, $10, $13. They are actually billionaires now. And if you look at the majority of Bitcoin, it has not moved in 6-7 years. The majority of Bitcoin has never moved those wallets. It's been parked there for over 7 years. What do those guys know that the common Joe Sixpack doesn't know? They know Bitcoin's here to stay. They know it's going to be the standard. The white paper is going to be used for any other altcoins or Fed coins. It's not going anywhere. It's flawless in its design.
And it doesn't matter, Chet, that they're different value, right? Bitcoin may be 60 grand and Ethereum 4,000 or whatever. It's just a different value. Do you think a lot of them, I'm asking a lot of questions here, one, but do you think there will be a lot of them, like there are now about 200? Do you think a lot of these will still be around, or what's your opinion on that?
Well, there's thousands. Technically, there's over 10,000 plus altcoins, but they're very obscure.
Sure.
But you're going to have, everyone knows it's been in this space basically from 2010 onward. There's no question there's going to be a dominant 60 cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
And each one will have different features, different facets. They'll have different features with their smart contracts and their proof of work or proof of stake. They'll have different features that will all be necessary, and they will have dominance in certain niche software necessities. Just like today, I mean, how many different car and truck manufacturers are there?
Yeah.
They're all over. Well, why is that? Because not everyone needs a four-door truck. Not everyone needs a sports car Lamborghini. Not everyone needs a four-door sedan. But you have such a variety of transportation because there are niche needs for all these vehicles to be justified, the sports car to the truck to the four-door sedan. Cryptocurrencies are just like the automotive. You're going to have truck versions of cryptocurrency. They're utilitarian. You're going to have sporty, zippy cryptocurrencies like the sports car. You're going to have the cryptocurrency for daily activity like the sedan to get the family from one place to another. So there's going to be 60 to 100 dominant cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin always being kind of the standard because it's the longest, oldest, uninterrupted blockchain. Every 30 days, it gets more valuable and more prominent. So they know, the people in the know, they've already secured these 50 to 60 cryptocurrencies. They're in their wallets, and they're not budging.
And once you, if you really have a wallet offshore, so to speak, they are impenetrable, right? Correct?
Yeah, correct. So you could, as long as you have your seed phrase, for example, if you have a hard wallet, you could go from the United States to Mexico and have the seed phrase in your head. You could take $6 million from the United States and Mexico. There's nothing they can do about it. Because once you download your seed, you can go from your computer in the United States, go through customs, go to Mexico, I don't know, Uruguay, Brazil, Japan, and then get on a computer in Japan with your seed phrase, and there's your access to your $6 million. They can't seize it. They can't grab it.
Did you see that article? There's so much fake news. You know that, what was it, Colonial Pipeline or something that they said was hacked for Bitcoins, right? The fake news is out there saying that the feds cracked this guy's wallet and got the money. And it's not true. It was in a custodial account, right? And that's why they got it, because... So you know this thing was planned, wasn't it? I mean, why would some guy put it in the custodial account? Come on. It's like, come on. I even got that one, and I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Yeah, so if they're going to come up with these false flags and these storylines, they need to, whoever it is, if it's an alphabet agency, they need to hire brighter people. anyone in the crypto space saw that article and gets it.
Come on, who wrote this? Who wrote this thing? Hey, why are we on the subject of cryptos? You're so much fun to talk to. Do you have any tips for some of the below sea level cryptos we might buy and make some money? Do you have any tips or rumors?
Oh yeah, let me say, because you always have to preface, this isn't financial advice.
Right, I know.
Say this is for entertainment purposes only, because any kind of financial recommendation,
right,
you can get in real quick trouble if you're not in guidelines with the SEC.
Right.
They're there for a reason and so forth.
We say the same thing, Jed, about medical advice, same thing.
Yeah, because I certainly don't want to mislead anyone or pretend to be a financial planner. But I will give you some good things to think about. This is common sense.
Okay.
And this works very well for newbies who don't know much about cryptocurrency. Let me say this, as far as blockchain and cryptocurrency, for the listening audience, I mean this in all kindness. Don't take this wrong. The individual, I don't care if you're 70 years old, you must take the time, if it's watching certain YouTube videos or other platforms, start familiarizing yourself and start educating yourself, even if it's a few minutes a day watching videos. Because if you're intellectually lazy and like, oh, I don't want to bother learning this, you will be devastated financially. You'll never recover, or you could jeopardize future generations because you're not. You must stick your toe in this, start to learn, get over this learning curve. Now, for cryptocurrencies, think about which cryptocurrencies generate platforms that are readily used by the crypto industry. An example of that would be Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two types. There's Ethereum Classic, ETC, and there was a fork, ETH, Vitalik Buterin, runs Ethereum, abbreviated ETH. Now, Ethereum, for example, is a utility cryptocurrency token. It's a platform that thousands of alternative coins, alternative cryptocurrencies, they run on the Ethereum platform. Now, do you think it would make sense to own some Ethereum if it's the highway, if it's the infrastructure and highway that thousands of other cryptocurrencies use?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ETC or the ETH,
right,
or both?
ETH.
ETH. Hmm.
ETH, Ethereum is the most. ETC has some neat features, but it's not as popular. ETC, which was the original Ethereum Classic, versus Ethereum. But ETH is the one that's always been second. You've had Bitcoin, BTC, mm-hmm, original Bitcoin, and Ethereum, ETH. That's been number one, number two for 10 years. Well, that's because it's a utility token. Well, there's another great mind, great developers. When you look at cryptocurrencies, you want to look at who are the developers? How long have they been in this space? Well, you have Cardano. Abbreviated ADA. And Cardano is a utility token that has features, very prominent. It's an up-and-coming platform key. Then you have alternative coins like Chainlink, Stellar Lumens. What happens is then look at cryptocurrencies, some of these altcoins. Bitcoin's a no-brainer. I feel that everyone should have some Bitcoin. And people make the mistake. I don't know why they do this. They're like, a Bitcoin at one time was at 64,000. They beat it down with systematic FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. They drove Bitcoin down to 30,000-ish. That's because they're trying to get everyone to panic and sell it. But Bitcoin's a no-brainer, but everyone goes, I don't have $31,000 to buy Bitcoin. I'm like, you don't have to buy. Do you have $10? $100? Yeah. You can buy $10 worth, $100 worth of Bitcoin. I can. I go, yeah, you don't have to buy $30,000 one Bitcoin. You can buy $100 worth. So always secure some. But look at alternative coins and corporations. So if you look at IBM, Microsoft, Apple, Intel, Oracle, could be Tesla. Look at these corporations and you can find through an internet search, which partnership have Fortune 100 companies formed with these top 60 cryptocurrencies? When you find out who IBM is partnered with, who AT&T in the telecommunications industry is partnered with, who's Microsoft and IBM, don't you think you might want to pay attention to those coins and maybe own some? What do the Fortune 100 companies know that you don't know? So just do some investigating. See which partnerships between alternative cryptocurrencies and corporations. That'll tell you what the top 50 prominent ones are going to be.
Wow.
So
I wonder, I guess the central banks, I have the, you know, I go and check out the central bank's balance sheet for the Fed, the H41 release, but they don't have cryptos on there, but I suspect they own somehow. Of course, they cook the books.
Yeah, do you think J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs?
Oh, man.
You don't think they own crypto? Bank of Mellon, UBS, they all have.
Yeah.
They've all hired. Look at who they've hired lately. Look at who these corporations and central banks, they've all hired well-known cryptocurrency developers.
Crypto nerds, huh?
They're at their home office. Yeah, so they're scrambling. And in the background, everyone is scrambling for toeholds in infrastructure, the on and off ramps. And these are central banks, these are hedge funds, venture capital, Fortune 100 companies. They all have anchored positions now. They know the whole global system's heading to blockchain. There's no way around it.
No way around. So if you are correct, and I've talked to a lot of cryptomaniacs who agree with you that there's always only going to be 33 million of Bitcoin, then that means it could be, I mean, literally $500,000 someday. It could be, right? I mean,
well, eventually it's very feasible. There's 33 million Bitcoin.
Right.
You've had over, I don't know the exact date, but let's say between 18, 19 million mined.
Mm-hmm.
They've solved the mathematical algorithm hash rate calculations, and they were awarded a Bitcoin for solving that mathematic puzzle. You have 19 million, but you have 4 million have been lost.
Four?
I've lost Bitcoin because
I
sent it. So
I lost some too,
you're,
man.
You're dealing,
I know.
Yeah, you're dealing with a limited finite number, but when it's broken down into a Satoshi, which is 100 millionth of a Bitcoin, the calculations show that very easily today what we call one US dollar, one Satoshi will equal one US dollar. So that means one Bitcoin will be $100 million.
Whoa.
Dollar for one Satoshi.
Really?
And it'll be there within 17 years, according to, we've done the math. Within 17 years, you're looking at $1 per Satoshi.
Of course, who's going to, I mean, what will dollar be worth in 20 years? I mean, you know, it's all.
It won't. That's why I said.
That's why.
people that are asleep and are like, I don't want to learn about cryptocurrencies. I'm too old. I'm telling you, if you don't take baby steps and at least learn this, and get a few of these, and then get a Ledger Nano S, a Kiki, a Trezor, these hard wallets. You can get this information for free on these videos. It's not that difficult. If you don't, you will be permanently poor and possibly sentence three generations, if we were to continue, three generations into poverty because you did not get off your laziness and learn this transition. Because a dollar, all these fiat currencies are going to be worth zero. They're almost zero now.
They're almost zero.
It's
now.
A dollar loss. Now.
Oh yeah.
96% of it's
since the Fed in 2013. Yeah, 96-97%. Right. Yeah. Wow.
So if most of your assets are dollar based and you haven't started to diversify into this new technology, you're going to be wiped out. You'll never recover.
What about gold? That's going to always be good, right? Gold.
Yeah, because gold is a rare earth metal. Again, it's somewhat finite. You can't print gold like a US dollar note. But what you'll have, which is interesting, if you were to pick, silver is going to be very viable because silver is extremely necessary in this high-tech AI robotic world we're headed into.
Mm-hmm.
Silver is worth more than gold.
Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Sure.
I'm having fun. Okay, stay there. We're going to do this one. Check this out. Previously, with the highly credentialed Dr. Thomas Levy, he argues because the literature shows that oxidation is the cause of disease.
But the whole point is the location, the concentration, the duration, the distribution of oxidized biomolecules determines 100% of all diseases. And so that's why I say oxidative stress doesn't cause disease. Oxidation is disease.
Is disease.
If there's no oxidized biomolecules, you don't have a toxin. The toxic effect is oxidation of biomolecules. That's the entirety of it.
And by the grace of God, several months ago, George Wiseman said this about hydrogen.
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot.
Hmm.
First of all, it's 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it.
So now it makes sense why George was able to say this back in August 2019 with such conviction.
The body accepts that gas and uses it to heal everything. It's like the fountain of youth. It's astonishing the amount of ailments. In fact, in scientific studies, and they have over 1,000 scientific studies now, they're showing that it either helps the body heal directly or indirectly from virtually every ailment that ails any water-based life form.
Okay, I'm sold. And I was able to get one a couple of months ago, thanks to your support. It's called the AquaCure Hydrogen Machine. Breathe the gas and bubble the water. There's a promo code ONERADIO for 10% discount. I think a great investment for you, knowing what we know now, on OneRadioNetwork.com. I think you're right, Patrick, and you're not right very often, but that commercial is about a year old. I've had the hydrogen and breathe it every day of my life, almost every day. Sometimes I miss, have a 25-foot cannula. So I do my rebounding and yoga, exercising, and lift a few weights and stuff while breathing the hydrogen. It's incredible. You can imagine, I've been doing talk shows for over 50 years. Hello? Yeah, I know. And the amount of gadgets and herbs and supplements and potions and things that people have sent me over the years wanting me to promote it. This is probably the coolest technology that I've come across ever. I'm not giving mine up. And this is a lifetime warranty, one-year money-back guarantee. A couple thousand fiat dollars. I think you'll really enjoy this. Something very deep and good going on with hydrogen. And it's actually Brown's gas, which is a little step up from hydrogen, but you can go on George's website, learn more about Brown's gas, and that's just this fourth phase of water that Joe Pollack and others talk about. It's very cool. A lot of safety features on this unit. So if you want to invest in your health, recommend pulling together $2,000 and get it. Use promo code ONERADIO. Promo code ONERADIO, and we'll hook you up for one. And he ships them all over the world, too. Just got an emailer from Vietnam, and he's going to ship one to Vietnam. But it's really interesting technology. And again, I believe that we can do this all on our own, but, you know, while we're learning it, you know, we'll do hydrogen.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
Jet Blake is with us. He said at the end of the beginning of the show, So you said...
Can I say
real quick?
Anything
you want.
Okay. It's 21 million Bitcoin total, and I think like close to 19 million have been mined so far, 21. I was thinking of another altcoin. I was in a conference before this radio show.
That's what 21 million, and 19 million, have been mined already.
Many have been lost out of that 19 million.
When we say lost, I lost a bunch. I lost like 500 of them. Can't believe it. I bought them when they were a quarter, 12 years ago. I lost 500 through the Mt. Gox thing. When we say lost, did they just disappear? Or?
Well, like I don't know in your case, the Mt. Gox was a big ouch. It was kind of a black eye to the Bitcoin industry. I don't know in Mt. Gox the details if they were stolen or misappropriated, or people thought they were buying Bitcoin, but they didn't have enough Bitcoin.
We just don't know, huh?
We don't know. What I meant lost is like where I literally lost some is because of my own stupidity. Is back in the day, I had sent, it doesn't seem like much now, but I had 6 Bitcoin and I sent Bitcoin to an address and I put a little I instead of a capital I.
Wow.
So out of the address, one mistake and the 6 Bitcoin went to oblivion. I can't get them back.
You just can't get them back.
No, so that they weren't embezzled or anything. They vanished. So there are people who've had Bitcoin maybe on a laptop, and the laptop got destroyed or thrown away in a landfill, or they had it on a hard wallet, a Ledger Nano S, and lost a hard wallet and can't remember the 24-word seed phrase, and it's gone forever. That's what I meant by
I see
being lost. So that means we'll have even less than 21 million.
Sure. What happened in my case was, just so you know, is so when the Mt. Gox thing hit, the crypto guy who I know, who's got 4 jets and, you know, he's a billionaire now, he suggested that I send them to somebody else, you know, because Mt. Gox, and I sent them to him and the guy stole them, you know, the guy just stole them.
Oh,
never saw him again. Actually, he still exists and he's in Europe, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, he's living off your Bitcoin.
He's living off my Bitcoins. I think we spent, my friend and I think Andrew Goss, we each bought $500 worth, and I think there were 40 cents or something. Ah, well. Easy come, easy go, baby. You know what I mean? Okay, before we go here, let's talk about a few other things. Okay, I want to play just a little bit of this, because you're talking about the brain being rewired, and we talk about programming, right? And it's very fascinating. Just, I won't play the whole thing, but Jet, watch this. Check this out, folks. This is very interesting. Check it out. I'll make it bigger.
Why do you wear a mask outside? What's your thought on that?
I'm not sure why.
Good news for you.
Yes,
you don't have to wear a mask anywhere outside.
Okay. There you go.
All right. How do you feel?
The same.
I'm Ami Horowitz, and some people are still wearing their masks outside who are fully vaccinated, even though the science says they don't have to. Let's find out why. Why are you wearing your mask outside?
It feels weird not to.
I just like it. I got used to it. I don't mind wearing it. I guess I'm just used to it, I guess.
I just have it on. I forgot it was on.
You forgot it was on? Are you vaccinated? Why are you wearing a mask outside? What's your thought process?
No comment.
I just feel like I have to wear it. I don't know why. I just want to wear it.
Yeah, I guess like my friends wear them, so I'm like, if I'm... I might as well just too.
I feel like I won't take off my mask until everybody does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We have a very
role modeling, right?
I mean, it's just, there's a lot of anxieties with taking the mask off, you know, for the first time. So it's
because
probably,
it's been so long.
Yeah, it's like a social anxiety at this point. It's just, you know, mental well-being and stuff.
So it's virtually impossible to get coronavirus outside while you're vaccinated.
Okay.
Does that change your thought process at all?
Yeah, not really. I'm just going to keep wearing it. I personally still wouldn't want to take the risk anyway. And I don't trust anyone else. So I'm just doing it for my
own Even if health. The science said it was like basically impossible, it still doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Extra precaution.
Because I want to protect others and there's still risk no matter what. So
the science says it's virtually impossible to get the coronavirus if you're vaccinated or spread it while you're outside.
Sure.
Does that change your thought at all?
I know that. But it also sets an example, a visual example.
That's how I feel sometimes. I just want to put it on.
Because you almost feel like that, like almost a compulsion to do it. Because we've been
doing it. Okay, you know, wow. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, the masks are more like a talisman.
A talisman?
Yeah, it's like a lucky charm, like a rabbit's foot. Because the mask, if there's any kind of, even with the narrative that they're saying as far as powers to be, when I talk about viruses and everything, a mask doesn't stop. In fact, you know, masks, the long-term consequences of wearing masks, you have contaminants, the mask, and then you're not breathing fresh oxygen like you should, the back gassing of carbon dioxide. So, yeah, these people wearing this, you can tell, it's almost like hypnotic. It's programmed to wear it.
So the actual brain, you were saying earlier, just really gets rewired because of the programming, just literally gets rewired, and they can't really even think their way out of it, can they? Can't even think their way out of it. Wow.
No, I read years ago, I was reading a scientific paper, and so don't quote me on this, because I'd have to dig in the archives to find it. It'd be very difficult to find it. But the connotation of the article was that in the late 50s, there were some scientific defectors from the former Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the alphabet agencies in this country were working on mind control through psychotropic drug analysis. So you had like the Timothy Leary days and then the 60s with LSD and PCB and so forth. And the scientists from the Soviet Union had said that they had long since abandoned that and found that the flicker rate was much more powerful in controlling the mind than the subconscious.
The flicker rate?
With flicker rate, yeah. So television. If you're watching television or any kind of media, they could have a different flicker rate that your frontal lobe, your conscious mind, does not pick up, but the subconscious does. So you can layer, let's say it's a sitcom, a 30-minute sitcom or mm-hmm. a news program.
Mm-hmm.
You could layer that transmission with two or three other messaging, not picked up at all for the frontal, but the subconscious picks up all of that. So it's a great means of. Have you ever had like a been at someone's house and it's really susceptible, but I noticed kids, but you say something like dinner's ready, and the kids, they're watching TV, and you either have to come up and shake them,
right?
Or said, dinner's ready, and they're like, okay. And so, well, you can tell they were in a trance.
Yeah. So
you kind of had to, get real close to them loud, and then they wake up, and they go, I didn't know dinner's ready. So, yeah, it's time to eat.
So this flicker rate jet, this is actually putting messages that aren't audible by the characters in the sitcom, just actually subliminal messages, like war is good or something like that?
Yeah, that's what's interesting with field theory is you can have, through electromagnetic signaling, you can attach data to it, and the subconscious can pick that up, that bypasses the frontal lobe. So you could have transmissions like, this is just hypothetical,
mm-hmm.
but you could have transmissions saying government is good, trust your government, spend money,
mm-hmm.
the economy's fine, or you could overlay transmissions of an enemy nation. So through their broadcasting network, they have news or shows, but you could layer on them protests, overthrow the government,
mm-hmm.
go to the street, and then people react, like when you had all those color revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt and Libya.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there was flicker rate transmission in those areas to get people to respond in mass.
Does this go way back to my early TV days with Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America? Were they doing it back then?
Well, they had crude versions back then, because you remember they would get caught in movie theaters?
Yeah.
In one frame, they would have popcorn or Coke.
Yeah.
And your eyes didn't pick it up, but then they noticed sales would increase with now they can do it, because it's not they're not flickering an image where you can freeze frame a live broadcast and go, aha, I saw that soft drink can,
mm-hmm.
or I saw like the movie They Live, where you put the glasses on and the billboard said obey or consume. Movie back in the 70s, I think. So it's not an actual image that can be freeze frame, it's actually a flicker rate.
So I guess the takeaway here before we go, something that I, my passion in life and what I talk about on my show a lot, Chad, is that we, for us to survive here as spiritual beings, that we simply have to become more aware, more conscious, every moment, every moment, every moment. And then none of this stuff can hurt us because we just won't accept it as reality. I just don't accept it.
That's correct. That's what I agree. And on my videos, I champion how to be more organic, carbon organic. So I strongly recommend to disconnect as much as possible social media, television, movies, radio, getting grounded in nature. So as you know, the importance of being barefoot, grounded, camping, canoe trips, hiking, bird watching, working with pottery, painting, playing a musical instrument, being outside, getting sun on your skin, so you get vitamin D conversion, you get that data. But we're in a society where it's a perfect, beautiful day, and kids are inside playing video games.
Yeah.
So how to detach from this corporate hell, Silicon Valley world and get into nature for spiritual enhancement, spiritual awareness, is extremely important. Eating organic foods and your purified waters, all instead of the toxic, sugary, caffeinated beverages. But I highly recommend that. But it's tough. It's like,
well, they're all kind of drugs. You know, I found that they're really food is a drug, really. Essentially, most foods are drugs, right? I know for me, you know, I can get attached just having, you know, pasta, you know, a little bit, I just need pasta. Well, you are really fun to talk to. Would you come back sometime and we'll pick out a couple of subjects? We spent a lot of time on cryptos, but I thought it was good. I learned a lot about it. I really did. I learned a lot. And but I'd like to have you back sometime and we'll do it again.
Sure. Maybe I can tell you some interesting things about kind of quantum tunneling, how we're able to receive information and data and work with that with plant health.
Oh, with plant, yeah, sure. And plus
new sciences, yeah.
On this data thing too, Jet, I think we're all communicating with everyone, right? Every moment, every soul, and the Cowans and Kaufmans are talking about that we're putting out actual exosomes, right? Helping everybody to evolve in a different way. And so a lot of fun things going on. We just got to stay awake, baby. Stay awake.
That's right.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you being here. It's an honor having you, and thanks for your work. I'm glad I found you. So we'll do it again.
Yeah, just let me know.
I will.
In the future when you want to do
another. Yeah, we'll do another one soon. Yeah, come back, and we'll just pick a couple subjects. And because I'm running out of, you know, I'm not running out. Let me see, how should I say that? I'm not a germ theory guy, right? And it's hard for me now to even want to talk to anybody that believes in viruses exist because I know they don't. And I, you know, it's like, I don't know. And I get emails now that people say, oh, you should really interview her because I know she's a germ theory person, but she's really cool. And she got, well, to me, it's like saying, why would you interview somebody about health if they got a basic thing just wrong? Just wrong.
Yeah, I know.
How can you do that?
Right.
I can't, you know, I don't want to be dogmatic and absolute. I don't like it, but I don't know what to do with that. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know? So I think that where we're heading and what you're talking about is helping folks to wake up and to stay awake and get awake. I think this is where the future is for our health too, right? Because who knows, we may not even have vitamin C to be able to buy a year from now or two. Who knows? I mean, you don't know what these people are going to do.
No, they're trying to cut us out from nature. They're trying to cut us out from
everything.
Vital vitamins and minerals to cut us off from nature. They're trying to get this assimilation into this Borg mindset, the Silicon Valley, and then a platform for being shut off left and right. And then, as a scientist, when we discover the etheric field, consciousness, electromagnetic signaling, and enriched experience for humans, plants, or animals, we I am threatened as a scientist. My children are threatened. I no longer have grants. They don't review peer review white papers.
Wow.
I've been blackballed worldwide.
Wow. Really?
I am so angry. I am so angry with what this world, these system engineers have done to humanity.
Well, we'll figure out some things, sure. Brother. I'm gonna make movies my next career. I'm gonna produce movies, make movies. You can get involved some of that. We're gonna figure out a way how to get some fun stuff out there and make a living. It'll be good. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, to get it word out to the people. They need to know this knowledge, the truth.
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's the only reason we're here now, right? What else are we gonna do?
What else are we gonna do?
What else are we gonna do? It's like, okay, what else are we gonna do? You know. All right, brother. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here, and we'll keep in touch.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Jet Blake. Well, what a cool guy. I can't believe we found him. So there's another one. There's a keeper. So we're going to have him back and talk about good stuff because, I mean, I don't even know what even counts anymore, but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I'm not saying that I know what the truth is, but I know that I'm a spiritual being. And I know that I'm soul. I know that there's nothing can hurt me unless I invite it in. We've talked about it over and over, and we'll continue to talk about it. And I know that I change every bit of my molecule, every moment of my life, by what I believe to be real and true. And this is where it's going, and this is my passion. And so stick around here if you want to learn more about that and cryptos. Just kidding. I love you all very much. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you Friday, Friday. We'll see you on Friday at 10 o'clock, and we'll solve all the world's problems, guarantee.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.